I bought this shirt a couple of years ago that says, "God is not a boy's name." And I wear it frequently. I especially like to wear it when I travel because I'm able to start lots of interesting conversations, mostly with old white men, no offense. They seem to be very puzzled about it. In Dallas last year, I had a man come up to me with his wife, and he said, "I'm a lifelong Christian, and I don't understand your t-shirt." His wife said she liked it. I then gave him a very simple explanation about pronouns and how people were comfortable or not with certain words, and he said, "I'll have to ponder that a lot more on my next flight." Win for inclusive language for God. Thinking about it is half the battle. When we were in San Antonio for Festival of Homiletics in May, I wore it, and Nadia Bowles Weber asked to take a picture with me. I know, I'm a big deal. She, of course, loved it. During the last month of the series, we have experienced God in a wide variety of ways. The hope being that as you go through your daily life, your travels, your work, you would be more open to where you can have your own experiences of God, both inside and outside of these walls. Many of the images you might not have ever thought about before, but as you seek to know God, it's important that you think about different images. This week we are meeting God somewhere you might not have ever thought of before. If you have been in this place very long, you know that we regularly use inclusive language for God or the female pronouns for God. The last few months, several annual conferences of the United Methodist Church have even debated the gender of God on the floor, which resulted in some very difficult and uncomfortable conversations, mostly about bias and control. This is a topic that you might not have thought a lot about, but it's one that's timely, especially for those of us who are working to live a more inclusive life. I will admit that it will make you uncomfortable. And it could be because your only experience of talking about God could be the male pronouns you have heard in the Bible your whole life. It could also be that maybe the idea of God and labor is a bit too graphic for you to think about. I started out that way too, before seminary totally messed up my life, as it tends to do, and forced me to think about things I was not fully prepared to. Now whenever I hear male language for God, I usually whisper to the person next to me, "God is not a man." I should also say that God is not a woman either, just to be fair. The writings of Scripture that describe God as having male characteristics is important to our understanding of who God is and how much God loves us, just as the writings in Scripture that describe God as having female characteristics is important to our understanding of who God is and how much God loves us. As humans, we live in a very bifurcated world. We live in a society where you're either one thing or another. You're either a man or a woman, until you aren't. You are either someone who goes into the men's restroom or the women's restroom, until you struggle with that choice. You can either be a Christian or a progressive, until you're both. It's a scary world we're living in. Our scripture today from Isaiah gives several different visions of who God is. We see God as creator, freedom fighter, one with nature, soldier fighting against foes, woman in labor, a lighthouse to those who need safe passage and direction. Wait, a woman in labor? Do you remember that song from Sesame Street? One of these things is not like the other. One of these things does not belong. Even the author of our book for the series, Lauren Winter, admits that thinking about God as a woman in labor is uncomfortable and disturbing. Labor is messy. It's loud. There's lots of pain involved, lack of control, and general vulnerability. We do not like vulnerability. If this image is hard for you to grasp, you're not alone. I polled many of my friends who have had babies and those who have chosen not to, both male and female. Most of their initial response was the feeling of awkward or being uncomfortable at this image. Almost all of them said they had never thought of it before. When they reflected more, several of them said it made them feel like God could relate to them much better, feeling more of a balance between male and female qualities they've always heard about, feeling more protected and nurtured. My friends that have children express the understanding of unconditional love that God must feel for us at that moment. Several of my friends said the image made them feel powerful, including my sister-in-law, who labored for a very long time. And she said, "I can't imagine the labor God went through to give us all of this." Even if you haven't experienced labor, you can relate to the experience of pain, excitement, and feeling a little bit out of control. We have all had those experiences, just maybe not all at the same time. If you identify as male, does it make you feel comforted as from your own mother? There is also a possibility, as with some people and male language of God, that your relationship with your mother is not one that you would like to connect with God. And that's okay too. What do we do with images of God that make us feel uncomfortable? There are many images of God throughout the Bible that make me very uncomfortable, much, much more than this image. God is a soldier. God is wrathful, angry God. Those are not my favorites. That's not the way that I have experienced God, and not the most comforting in times of need. But I also recognize that some people might really need those images when they feel weak or alone. The idea of a conquering God might be just what gives them the strength to carry on. I believe it's important to have a wide selection of images and experiences of God to sustain us through many of life's challenges. There are times in our lives when we might want a strong leader image of God conquering our problems, and other times, the image of God as a mother hen gathering her chicks and comforting them might be what we really need. Winter explains Deutero-Isaiah was written in the wake of the catastrophe of the exile in Babylon. People were living away from their homes with no realistic hope of imminent return. This part of Isaiah was written to assure the exiled people that God had not abandoned them. God is present, God is at work, tending to God's people even now, even though the exiles might have felt forgotten and renounced. Right before this passage, we have God announcing that old things are passing away and God will bring about something new. Calvin even suggests that Isaiah is trying to tell us something about the astonishing warmth of love and tenderness of affection that God has for us. For he compares himself to a mother who singularly loves her child, though she brought him forth with extreme pain. Isaiah gives us this groaning woman as a picture of the sovereign God, the God who is in control of redemption, the God who chooses to participate in the work of a new creation through bellowing and panting. The images of God breathing into creation are very powerful throughout Scripture and remind us of our own breath each and every day. God chooses a participation that does not fight the pain, but works from inside the pain. It is much more common for us to think of labor in terms of Genesis 3, where it's a punishment. In our passage today, it seems like a connection of God to our human experience again and again and again. Winter even asks, "Do I really want a God with a body, even one that looks like a crazy bat?" She realizes that her own discomfort must include not just a theoretical worry about God's vulnerability, but a fear of our own vulnerability. Isaiah's picture of God suggests that those moments when we stop fighting our own vulnerability are exactly the moments when we want to participate most in God's very nature, in God's very life. Part of this vulnerability is also the idea that creating something that isn't totally ours, creating something that has the free will to leave or to go, but doing the hard work anyway, doing the hard work of creating and sustaining life, knowing that it could leave. There are several other images of God in both the Old and New Testament having female characteristics. In Deuteronomy, we see Mother Eagle. We also see a scene of giving birth. Hosea, God is described as mother, and also a real fun passage about God as the mother bear. I will fall upon them like a bear robbed of her cubs and will tear open the covering of their heart. It's a real uplifting, comforting image, isn't it? Isaiah, comforting mother, nursing mother, woman in labor. Psalms, God as mother, God compared to woman. Matthew and Luke, God as the mother hen. And also in Luke, a woman looking for her lost coin. We have lots and lots of images of God as woman. These are images of power, comfort, love, support, and encouragement. Images that seek to show a God that meets us where we are when we aren't sure where we are. These are also the passages that are not all that familiar to most of us. Feminist theologian Elizabeth Johnson explains, the mother image points to the intrinsic relatedness between God and the world, a loving relationality that belongs to the very essence of being a mother and never ends. In and through the experience of birthing and rearing, an orientation emerges that fights against alienation, that resists seeing things and people as separate, but instead fosters a vision of connection with them and themselves. This image can be extremely relatable to our society and our traditional family structure, since it is the women whose bodies bear, nourish, and deliver new persons into the life, and as a society is traditionally structured, are the most often charged with the responsibility to nurture and raise into maturity. Language about God as mother carries a unique power to express human relationship to the mystery who generates and cares for everything. This is the kind of image that can comfort us, and I would argue in some cases more than the representation of God as soldier or defender. But I would also say that some of us need both images. What is really important is that you find an image or experience of God that speaks to you and where you are. And that might change every day or every hour. It might change over the years, and it might change depending on what's happening in your life. I believe God is always present in this place with these people, but if you think you can only experience God sitting in this room, facing this way, standing, sitting, regurgitating prayers and songs, you know, you're missing it. It's not all in here. It's also out there. You are missing the opportunity to experience God wherever you happen to be. The more we expand our view of God and where we allow God to show up in our lives, the deeper our faith will become. Learning to experience God wherever we find ourselves is a spiritual practice I hope we all work on throughout our lives. You might find yourself needing to pray to a mothering God for comfort in times of difficulty. You might seek out words in the Bible reminding you of the unconditional love of a mother eagle in her nest. You might desire the kindness of a God snuggling you close to their cheek. What I want to encourage you to do today is just to think about God as a laboring woman. You can feel anything you like about it, discomfort, awkwardness, whatever it is. But I want you to think about it. I want you to talk about it with your friends at lunch today or this week. It catches people off guard and gives them a chance to see God in a new and different way. And that's really what I believe that God has called me specifically to do, to challenge unsuspecting folks like yourself to think about God in new and different ways, and how you experience her in your everyday life. Would you pray with me? Mothering God, we give you thanks for this day, for opportunities to see you both inside and outside of these walls. I pray that you would give us opportunities to experience you in all the people that we meet, in all the places that we go. Open our eyes, open our hearts, open our ears, that we may see and experience you to change the world. We pray all these things in your heavenly name. Amen.